This is Sports Day for Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals and Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy. Scoop, last night we suggested that it was almost across the line that Brisbane will be nominated, or Queensland, in fact. I'm not sure the details.
You called it.
I didn't call it at all.
Don't
be
that you
silly.
Were nearly across the line.
We do believe that it is only a matter of the box being ticked, and all the goodwill from the IOC is with Australia. Matt Carroll is the CEO. He again joins us, the CEO of the AOC. Lots of alphabets there, or letters in the alphabet. He joins us on the line. Welcome
acronyms,
to you, Matt.
I think the word.
No, it's good. Great news, guys. Great news. I mean, but you know, we're not over the line yet. The race is still won. We can see the finish, but a lot of work to be put in yet.
I tell you what, we've had some inquiries in this country in the last 24 hours and 24 months, I should say. If we fall over this one, Matt, there'll be an inquiry. Surely we're home.
No doubt a Royal Commission. Look, no, you never say never, but that's why if you're still striving for it, you don't let anything leave anything to chance. And that's what the Queensland government, the federal government, the councils of South East Queensland and ourselves are working to do. So, we're just going to follow it all the way through.
Matt, what is it about Australia and the people running the show here in Australia that gets us up on a regular basis in the Olympic Forum, and yet I think it's only fair to say we completely stuffed up our bid for the World Cup of Soccer?
We won the World Cup for the Women's World Cup of Soccer, which is on in 2022, so we've improved in that space too. But look, I think the IOC, well, as they said in a statement last night, look upon Australia as a very safe hand.
Yep.
We know the sort of country we live in, but also in terms of putting on major events, their assessment didn't just go into the sporting side of it. It also went into an assessment of human rights, went into their assessment of our economic stability, our health and well-being stability. So there's a whole lot of things. I think the way that the country has handled the COVID pandemic also assisted in that space. As the President Thomas Bach of the IOC put it, Australian candidates providing certainty in uncertain times, which I think is a great compliment to the whole country.
A little bit disappointed in Thomas Bach and the system, because I think we all got so much of a thrill when one Antonio Samaranch mispronounced the name of Sydney, and we don't go down that system anymore. It's very much changed, all to do with, I guess, global economics and city economics, the cost of the event. It would appear as if now there's more of a negotiation with preferred candidates rather than half a dozen people cutting each other's throats.
Well, and what it does, two things. It saves a lot of money, and it takes away from there being losers. And it all stemmed from a few years back now when they awarded the games to Paris in 24 and Los Angeles in 28.
Yep.
Rather than losing two cities who were both bidding for 24,
yep,
they came up with that arrangement. Since then, it's not just for the summer games. It's the same for the winter games,
yep,
and the youth games. And it means that, you know, and the IOC uses this term, that the games fit the city. The city doesn't have to fit the game. So, the candidature for 2032 is about using existing venues, temporary venues, and making it, therefore, cost neutral. And they also contribute, over $1.8 billion towards the program themselves.
And it works, of course, for the states that are desperate to build infrastructure. There's no secret that Brisbane desperately needs a new mainstream stadium. The Gabba has done a great job for too many years now. They are desperate to upgrade, and if you can build it around the Olympics and it's supported by cricket and AFL footy and the like, well, then it works.
Well, yeah, that's right. But it's the decision of the state for that. I mean, the IOC is not asking them to build a new stadium.
No.
If the state decides that for all the reasons you just gave for the cricket and the AFL, then well and good. But if not, a temporary venue, an existing venue is fine by them.
Matt, the money behind all of this is fascinating. I know it always is with Olympics, but particularly now when you look through things through the lens of COVID, it's estimated that the economic benefits, Jared, for Queensland will be $7.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
But we already know that cities are losing more than $6 million a day just through tourism money.
Mm.
So now, look, who's to say what the world's going to look like in 2032? But touch wood and we return to some sort of normality. This is a huge boost that everyone will need, Matt.
Well, exactly. And the other thing about it, keep in mind, is that we're sitting here 10 years out, roughly, 2022 to 2032, and there's a runway. So there's a runway of other international events which can come in, which will also boost tourism and jobs and opportunity and investment. You know, as I said, there's already the Women's FIFA World Cup, there's the Women's Basketball World Cup, the Rugby World Cup has been bid for, and other events, and other international federations will want to hold events in Australia and in Queensland. So it's not just the games themselves that will provide this boost. And obviously the legacy lives on afterwards.
Of course, with the Olympic Games coming to our shores again, and we'll jump that final bridge just for the sake of the interview. Then all of a sudden, Matt, the focus will be on funding for Olympic sports again and trying to put our best foot forward. And I've got no problems with that. I guess there has been a fair bit of discussion around the current policy, where we're basically just funding in a larger way than perhaps other sports would like. Those sports where we see medals are coming. Do you see that changing in the light of it being awarded to Brisbane?
Well, we'd already been working on a project with our member sports to go to the federal government about, you know, investing in sport for some of the, a lot of the reasons that you just mentioned, but also community sport. You get, as I call it, the virtuous circle: participation, pathways for athletes, and then performance. So it's an investment in sport over the next 10 years, a fantastic green and gold runway. Yes, it'll be great for the medalists and the potential medalists, and, you know, the eight-year-olds of today, the 18-year-olds at the Games in 2032. But it's also what sport can do for the community in that, you know, health, well-being, bonding together, all those sorts of things. We're already pulling together a project plan to have discussions with the federal and state governments.
Matt, I just want to ask you about Tokyo 2020 or 2021. Mm-hmm. Now, Jared and I have been following this and the numbers in Japan quite closely on this show. Today, they had 1,103 new cases. Now, that doesn't sound great, but a month ago, it was 5,500. So we're trending in the right direction. My question to you is, granted all is going well at the moment, when can you start making a call? When I say you, when do you think the IOC can start making a call on whether international visitors and spectators can actually go? Because that's a pretty fundamental part.
Yeah, that they are looking at doing that in March. And at the end of the day, also, it'll depend on the government's view for obvious reasons. Certainly, discussions with, or not discussion, when I'm chatting to our sports and the athletes, you know, friends and family, it is going to be challenging. But that decision from the IOC and the TOCOG and the government will be in March time frame, as I'm told. Yes, you're right. Things are trending in the right direction. The vaccination is good, even getting out of Australia, as you both know, is not easy. And we don't know what our border restrictions are going to be come July.
Getting out of Victoria hasn't been easy, Jared.
No, it hasn't been. In fact, getting out of your house has been difficult. In fact, in this town, we'll leave the politics to you, Scoop. Matt, can you tell me how far and wide in Queensland will Olympic events be undertaken? How far north,
well,
in other
be,
words?
Sorry?
How far
yeah,
north?
Yeah, well, at this point, the master plan has got events in North Queensland, mm-hmm. Football, as in soccer, and obviously the games themselves are in Brisbane. Other main parts of the games are in Brisbane, Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast. But I think the other thing is, you know, there'll be camps, there'll be training camps from various international Olympic committees, and also the opportunity for infrastructure, or tradies even from all sorts of parts, providing the technology and other needs of the games will come from all over Queensland. And obviously there's the tourism part, where people go up to Cairns after they've been to the games or vice versa.
We've got surfing introduced in Tokyo, and a lot of people are keen to get involved. And I know a lot of people keen to be involved in Paris, because they're going to have it at a completely different venue, one of the great breaks in the world. Clearly, we've got fantastic breaks in Queensland, but to suggest it sort of turns on regularly would be putting a positive spin on things. Tell me, when would the games be played, if in fact we get the nod?
Well, the games are, and it's all the games, until 2032, actually, are the last week of July, the first week of August, followed by the Paralympics soon thereafter. But in terms of the sports program, there are some, locked-in sports, swimming, athletics, things of that nature. Sports such as surfing, they're in the games in Paris, you're right, and over in Tahiti. But they're yet to be locked in for 28 and obviously not yet locked in for 32.
Gee, they take it as a bit of an assault to the SCON if they don't get surfing involved in Queensland, but that for another debate.
I think that'll be all right. I think they'll be right. I'm sure that will occur. Yep.
Matt,
yep.
Great to have you on. Exciting times. Good luck.
Indeed. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Matt Carroll there, the boss of the AOC. Would you be a late chance to sort of just make it into the Australian team for surfing 2032?
I'll tell you what, though.
You could be an advisor. You could be
happy
some
to be a spectator, but I'd be much happier to be a spectator at the Paris Games, simply because it's at Tavarua over in Tahiti, where it's going to be absolutely superb. I mean, you can guarantee swell. June, July, August in Queensland, chances of having good surf are, you know, minimal. Nevertheless.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they just don't get the swell.
So what are they going to do?
I'm not sure. If they were having it in December and cyclone time, well, you'd be saying yippee-yo-yo.
Yippee-yo-yo.
You'd be saying yippee-yo-yo. But that time of the year, not so good.
Tokyo going ahead?
I think it's 70. It's probably 75-25 at this stage.
Just with the vaccine starting to pick up a bit of momentum globally.
Yeah, a bit of momentum.
I think I'm with you.
I think more of the deaths are coming down, which is a good sign.
Yes, although... Touch wood, because we know how.
Can you stop touching wood? Because I don't want to actually moz you, but you're not touching wood there. You're touching laminate. It looks like wood. I don't want to be. I don't want to pick you up on a detail.
Josh Marnie's the new Essendon GM boss. He's going to join us next.